Glad you're preaching today. Would you give my dad a warm welcome today?
Thank
you. Dr. William P. Oakley.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Deb, thank you. Sometimes I didn't think I would ever be in a place where I don't know what to say. But I am, as somebody say, I is there. I don't know. Wow. If you don't know the Holy Spirit's here this morning, you're deader than a doornail. I guarantee you. Hey, brother, let me tell you something. You can sing just before I preach anytime you want to. And you can sing whatever you want to. And if you want to go with me and preach, sing every time I'm preaching, I'll figure it out. Thank you so much. I've never heard it sung better or probably not as well in all my life. Thank you so much. God bless you. Praise team, you've come down and you're sitting over here. You've done a good job this morning. God bless you. Now listen, I'm a Baptist, but I'm not an old stuck Baptist. I'm a Spirit-filled Baptist. And I want you to know that God still works in an old man's life. But I got to confess something. I have had 816 or 17 funerals. I buried a lot of people. And I've had almost 400 weddings. My funerals take better than my weddings. I don't lose a funeral. But I've lost a few weddings along the way. God's been good to me. I am so honored to stand in the pulpit that God has given to Joe and Deborah. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of what God's done in their lives. I got to see Deborah baptized when she was saved. I was in full-time work for the Baptist State Convention of Michigan at the time, but I was off that particular Sunday, and she is already looking at Joe, and Joe was already looking at her, and so I got to see her baptized. There's one thing I want to do. By the way, Joe, you got an extra bedroom?
Yes,
sir. I'm going to have to move after this one, but I'm not going to go another minute without you knowing the greatest lady that in my life at this point. And that lady is my precious, beautiful wife, Peggy. Stand up and let people know who you are. Turn around. She's taking care of this old 90-year-old preacher. But you know, I didn't come to run my mouth about a lot of stuff this morning. The Lord gave me a message for you. I have never preached it before, and I'll never preach it again. Well, I'm not going to say I'll never preach it again. I am going to say I've never preached it before because God dropped this one into my heart 1 month ago when I found out that I was going to preach this morning for Grace Fellowship Church. Let me tell you this. I said to God about a year ago, Lord, this thing's about over for this old man, but I don't know, I maybe do it. I'm quitting at 100. That's when I'm going to lay her down. But anyway, I said, Lord, I don't get to preach in Joe's church often. I'd like to preach in his church one more time. You know what? I didn't think it'd ever happen, but God worked it out. And so I said, now that you've done that, you're going to have to give me a sermon. And he was good enough to do that. So this morning, I'm preaching on you can't lose for winning. You can't lose for winning.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, somehow there is an innate characteristic that is part of us all and a part of our lives that make us want to be winners. That's just a part of us. Yeah. I don't know whether you saw the recent Michael Jordan documentary lately that's called The Last Dance. Yeah. or not. But you'll immediately have to face one fact. It'll jump out at you if you watch that program, and that is Jordan had an insatiable desire to win. He could not stand to lose. Everyone wants to come out on top of the pack. Everyone wants to be the leading runner in the race. Everyone wants to be the top dog in the show. Everyone wants to be successful and secure. Everyone, by the way, you can say amen. I don't mind that at all. If I am a Baptist, you can say amen if you want to. Everyone wants to be successful and secure. Everyone wants to be a wise man and a winner. Everyone wants to be productive and purposeful. Everyone wants to have accolades and have assurance. Everyone wants to have a blue ribbon and a beautiful reasonableness. Everyone wants to say, I made it. And everyone wants to say, I mastered it. Everyone, all of us want to go for the gold. We all want to grab the glory. Everyone wants to vie for the victory. Tennessee football fans are as frustrated right now as a termite in a yo-yo. Ladies and gentlemen, Tennessee's been an embarrassing loser for the last 6 years. And I want you to know they were a dynasty for 15 years. And the Tennessee people, like myself, are frustrated because they are losers. Just like Texans, Tennesseans don't like to lose. But now, hear me and hear this old man well. When it comes to our Christian lives, we will never lose. We're all winners, and we always will be, because we can't lose for winning. We're all victors in the game. There are no losers, not one. That's right. We're not and never will be defeated. And so listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58 say. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Now, we may be down, but we're not done for. We may be at war, but the victory is already ours. We may be low, but the high is on the way. We may be overwhelmed, but peace has already been given. The sea of life may have some rolling billows, but with one quiet hush, the Lord can make it as smooth as glass. I submit to you, we can't lose for winning. That's just the way it is. And so today, as we travel down the highway of victory, let's consider three reasons why we can't lose for winning. Number one, because of our sure salvation. Can't lose for winning. Because of our sure salvation. Look at the reality of that salvation. If you and I have been born again, guess what? We are the children of God and the best friend to Jesus. Man, there's no better place in the world than that. To be I want to walk, but I can't. I'm being live streamed. But there's no, I can walk. Well, all right, a little bit, he said. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing better than that. To be a child of God and to be the best friend of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I want you to look at with Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God and joint heirs with Christ. I wish I had an hour to preach on that one statement. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And John 15:15 says, no longer do I call you servants, for your servants do not know what the master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. And the word friend there in the Greek is philos. It means a dear and fond associate. That's who you are as a born-again believer this morning. You are a dear and fond associate of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Look out here. I'm going to get loose and preach in a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just exactly who you are. The reality is simple, and yet it's profound. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In one of my pastorates several years ago, I was in my study on Saturday morning getting ready to preach on Sunday, and the outside doorbell rang. And I went through my office, my secretary's office, to the outside door. And there stood a young man about 18 years of age. I never saw the young man in my life. I opened the door. I said, could I help you? He said, preacher, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. And about the time I said okay, I looked down, and he had a pistol stuck right here. I started saying, no, it's not okay. But then I did say, okay, come on in. We walked back through to my office and sat down. I said, son, what can I do for you? He looked me right in the face and said, preacher, I ain't nobody. I ain't never been. Excuse my English, but I know better. But I'm quoting him. He said, I ain't nobody. I ain't never been nobody. I never will be nobody. And if you can't tell me for a reason why I ought not to, when I get through talking to you, I'm going down to the bottom and blow my brains out. I said, I got news for you. You're not going to the bottom and blow your brains out, because you are somebody. And you're going to be a better somebody when you leave here. And I shared the gospel with him. And he got on his face with me in that office and gave his heart to Jesus Christ and was born again. And he took that old pistol out of this guy, laid it on my desk and said, you can do with this thing what you want to now. I don't need it, because I am somebody. I'm telling you something, folks. You can't lose for winning when you are a born-again believer in Christ Jesus. You are somebody. I finally gave that gun to the sheriff. But by the way, you can't lose for winning. This is who this guy is by the grace of God. The results of that salvation is, how long do I have? I usually preach 30 minutes. I won't preach an hour and 30 minutes. No, I'm just, no. Anyway, look at the results of that salvation. We've been justified. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Greek word for justified is dikaio, and it means to render totally in. Listen to me. It means you've been rendered totally innocent. It means that you've been declared not guilty. Well, you say, but Brother Bill, I am guilty. I know that. But God says you're not. And so it doesn't make any difference what I think about it or what I am. When I'm born again, I've been justified, and God says I'm not guilty anymore. Hallelujah. You can't lose for winning when you're on the side like that. We've been justified. We've been sanctified. I want you to know we are a blessed people. Well, I'm going to tell you. I was in Rio de Janeiro preaching a crusade. And the missionaries that I was working with said, we want you to go with us tonight. I want you to preach tonight. I didn't ask them where. So they took me down, and I walked in an auditorium with 400 women. Not a man. I said, man, what is going on here? I said, what's this? They said, they're all prostitutes. I said, what? They said, they're all prostitutes. This is the prostitute district. But they come to hear you preach. And ladies and gentlemen, I stood that night and preached a simple gospel sermon on John 3:16 and saw 216 prostitutes come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. You can't lose for winning when you are Jesus in the process and the program of Jesus Christ. Now, number two, you can't lose for winning because of our steadfast security. The security of your eternal life. Now, listen to me. John 3:14-15 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him, now watch it, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 10:27-28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they'll never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Eternal is aionios in the Greek, and it means perpetual. It means everlasting. Either when we're born again, we have eternal life, or the Lord is a liar. And we're secure in that eternity of ours. And when you're secure in our eternity by God's grace, you can't lose for winning. I visited a man one day a few months ago, had vastly backslidden, but I'll never forget what he said. We were talking and he said, preacher, I haven't lost my eternal life, but I sure have gotten it mighty dirty. I haven't lost my eternal life, but I've gotten it awfully dirty. And we got on our faces before God and he cleaned it up. Ladies and gentlemen, you're secure if you're really a born-again believer. You can't lose for winning because of your security. And then security in your everyday living. The Bible says you have peace. Just take a hold of it. It's yours. It's already been given to you. John 14:27, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Not only can we live in peace, but we can live with cleansed lives. Now listen, if you want to get me stirred up, then let me talk about this a minute. And that is 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. And the word cleanses in the original Greek there is indicative, present, active. What's it mean? The blood of Jesus Christ every minute of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year is cleansing you and me from sin all the time. That's where we are. That's the grace of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we live this life by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I was leaving Memphis Airport, Memphis, Tennessee, one day going to Columbia, South America. I never will forget that morning. And I saw a fellow there walking around just singing Amazing Grace in the Memphis Airport. And happy as he could be. You know what he was doing? Cleaning toilets. So I said, something's going on here. So I walked up to this man and I said, hey, I'm a Baptist preacher. Well, you know what he said back? Glory, hallelujah. I won't hold that against you. I said, thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. But then I said, hey, man, you're in here cleaning up these dirty toilets, singing Amazing Grace. What's going on? He said, man, I was saved 20 years ago. And God and I had a conversation. And I said, the Lord said, you just do what I tell you to do, and you'll be happy. And he said, the Lord put me in here, gave me this job. And I decided I'm going to be the happiest toilet cleaner in the United States. And he was singing Amazing Grace. You can't lose from winning when you're on the side of Christ. Believe it or not, you didn't think I'd ever get here, but I'm at point three. I'm at number three. Number three says we cannot lose for winning because of our spiritual supply. Because of our spiritual supply, our supernatural spiritual supply. And that is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. I've already said this morning, if you don't believe the Holy Spirit's here, you're deader than a gnat. That's how simple that is. The supply is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to what Ephesians 5:18, 19 says. Don't be drunk with wine in which there's dissipation, but be filled with what? Come on now. Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Yes. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I got news for you, and you already know it. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer. Amen. To empower that person to live successful Christian lives on this earth. Amen. The Holy Spirit is not a loser. Come on now. The Holy Spirit is not a loser. You've got him in you. So how in God's world can you lose if you've got a winner in you? And you can't lose from winning. That's how simple this thing is this morning. I have had a lot of experiences through my life. You can't lose. My God says in Philippians 4:9, my God will supply all your needs, not part of them, all your needs by his Son Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you that you have what? Always. Say it with me. Always. Having all sufficiency in all things may have abundance for every good work. Do you believe that? Well, quit worrying. You can't lose from winning. I was in Rio de Janeiro, been down there six times. And I was in the slums. And by the way, when I say slums, you don't know anything about what I'm talking about unless you've been there. I mean, the slums in our cities looked like Manhattan against the slums in Rio de Janeiro and other cities. I was working in the slums that day, and little old houses made out of pasteboards that people could find. The men worked for $200 a year. A year! $200, about. Dirt floors. But I had an appointment to go to a little one of those houses with the pastor I was working in. And I thought, man, what a contrast. He had a big old church run about 1,000. And here we were down there. And I was glad that we were down there ministering. Walked into that little house. Dirt floors. And their furniture was made that the husband had made out of apple boxes, orange boxes, dirt floors, as I said. But standing in that little house were three beautiful Brazilian young ladies. All of them had babies in their arms. One of them just 6 weeks old. The other one about 4 months old. And the third lady had a 9-month-old baby. And that 9-month-old baby was writhing in pain. I could see. That little baby's legs were going just like this. And that baby was screaming. I said, this baby's hurting in my own heart. And so I turned to my interpreter and I said, ask this lady what's wrong with this baby. And he did. And she said, he's got both ears infected. He's been hurting 3 days. Hadn't slept. He's hurting bad. We don't have the money to take him to the doctor. And I thought, I can't witness here with that baby carrying on. I mean, I didn't say it negative. It's just the truth. And so I said, Lord, what you want me to do? And the Lord said, put your hands on his ears and pray, and I'll heal that baby. And you can witness. I said, Lord, I'm a Baptist. The Lord said, I don't care what you are. You put your ears, hand on that baby's ear. And I did. And you know what I said in that prayer? I said, Lord, you know what you said, so do it. That's all I said. Lord, you know what you said. In 30 seconds, that baby was sound asleep. I mean, sound asleep. And I witnessed for about 15 minutes, and three beautiful Brazilian young ladies came to know Jesus as their personal Savior and their Lord. Again, you can't lose for winning. Did you know you're on the winning side? Did you know that you can't lose this game? Try as the best you can. And most of us do try to lose them, I think. But try as best you can. You can't lose. I did not ask Pastor Joe and Deborah if I could do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. If he messes with me, I'll turn him over my knee. But anyway, I have done it before. I can't tell you that. Been a long time, though, I can tell you that right now. But listen to me. You're a winner. You can't lose. Amen. I tell you what I want us all to do. Church, I want you to get up. Stand up, church. I want you to get in this altar. This old preacher wants to pray over you. I'm going to say, Lord, help us all. Everybody come on to the altar that wants to. If you don't want to, stay where you are. That's all right. We're not going to get frustrated about anything here this morning. I'm having too good a time to do that. And by the way, you people that are missionaries, I've worked with missionaries around the world. And I want you to know some of the greatest experiences I ever had was with missionaries in other countries. Thank God for your ministry. I'm going to pray for your ministry this morning. I'm going to walk down and put my hands on you and pray for your ministry in a minute after I pray for this whole congregation. And here's what I want you to say. Lord, I'm a winner. I'll never be a loser. Come on now. Lord, I'm a winner. I'll never be a loser. Thank you for my state in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for your grace and for your mercy. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your anointing. And I pray that you'll help us all to know that we're winners and not losers because of your grace and your mercy. Now then, have we got any elders here, Brother Joe, you and Deb, and some other elders? Come up here around these folks here. I want you to stand right here with me, if you will. If you'll stand right here with me. I want the elders of the church. Let me have your hand. I want the elders of the church. We're going to pray over your ministry. I didn't ask you if I could do that, but I'm going to do it anyway. So I want you to know that we love you, appreciate you, and going to pray for your ministry. Father, I thank you for this precious couple and their ministry and what they're doing. As Pastor Joe said, building churches, seeing people saved, ministering to heartbroken people in a difficult situation. I thank you for this precious couple. I thank you for their commitment. I pray that you'll meet every need they have in order that they'll be able to go out and be the witness that you've called them to be in the name of the Lord Jesus. Anoint them. Help them to know your sweet presence every minute of every day. And may everything that they touch and everything they do be victory for Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, I'm through. Brother Joe, it's yours.
Awesome job, Dad. You did great.
Thank you.
Love you.